Hello, this is the Voices of CRM podcast for September 20th. I'm Barney Beal with SearchCRM.com. Last week, I attended the Gartner CRM Summit and had the chance to sit down with Scott Nelson, Vice President and Distinguished Analyst with a Stamford, Connecticut-based research firm, about his keynote address and the path ahead for CRM.
Welcome, Scott. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You talked this morning a bit about why the future of CRM will look different than the past. Can you maybe share with our listeners a little bit about how that's going to take place?
Sure. Well, what basically is happening is the CRM is finally maturing. It's something that we've been anticipating for some time, and we're actually seeing it now as more and more practitioners have kind of been around the block once or twice, and they're starting to realize that the early elements that they worried so much about, things like technology and automating basic functions, is giving way to some of the higher level concepts, getting the data under control, redesigning the processes, having a broader vision and strategy for what they're trying to accomplish. And so what's changing in particular is that it's going from an environment where technology is simply kind of a necessary evil, something that you need in order to get some scalability off of this, to an actual enabler that's allowing firms to do things in a new way and to develop strategies that they didn't even have before.
And so you mentioned a kind of a return to sort of enterprise-wide, or maybe a beginning of enterprise-wide strategic level CRM thinking. Isn't that sort of what got a lot of companies in trouble in the first place?
It certainly was, but I think it wasn't the enterprise CRM initiatives per se that was the problem. It was the fact that they were basically throwing a lot of good money after bad by not having a vision strategy of what they were trying to accomplish. And it was this idea that CRM was some kind of a panacea, that if they simply installed a large monolithic piece of software, it was going to create magical results for them. Now what they're realizing is that this is a technology that will enable growth in their organization, and if they pursue it correctly, that they can start to truly revolutionize their place in their particular market segment. The key is they have to have this vision of what they're trying to accomplish in the long run. They have to understand what being customer-centric really means. They have to look at the fact that they've organized and thought in terms of product, and that it requires some wholesale changes in the organization, in the process flow, in the data that supports it, in the technology that enables it, that once they put those steps in place, then they're able to get a much more of a beneficial effect by going enterprise-wide.
So, I mean, what's sort of the starting point then for maybe an organization out there that is kind of maybe launched a big Siebel system and it didn't quite work out as they planned? I mean, how did they go back to the drawing board?
Well, a lot depends, obviously, on the particulars, and I have a whole presentation. I'm not doing it here at the conference, but on sort of why CRM fails and what I recommend firms do going forward. The biggest thing is that you want to still address your immediate needs. Firms do have areas that they know are broken. There's functions that aren't working as well as they could. There's channels that aren't as robust as they could be. And you should certainly start where there's real pain points in the organization, because making changes there will gain credibility for CRM internally as well as pleasantly impacting your customers. But the key is, again, having this global strategy of what you're trying to get to over time, so that the short-term tactical decisions you make don't dead-end you. You want to have the broader strategic vision so that you can make these tactical decisions now that will set you up for the future, what you want to get to, and start working on some of the longer term initiatives, even in parallel with some of the shorter term tactical decisions. So an example would be, working on redefining and cleaning up your customer database, maybe even as you're working on making your website more robust. The database won't necessarily help the website right now, but over time you're going to need that database to be clean and ready to go in order to support larger initiatives. So you work on the immediate concerns, but then you start to set yourself up for the future.
And where does that leadership come from? I mean, we certainly heard, you need executive level sponsorship of CRM. Is it the CEO that needs to do this? Is it a competency center?
It needs to be somebody in the organization that has some clout to affect some change. Maybe the CEO, maybe a chief customer officer. We've seen in some firms it's a head of marketing. In some cases it's even the CIO. But it's somebody with vision, it's somebody who has the ability to make changes, because you're not just talking, again, about putting in a piece of software. You're talking about things like redesigning your processes. And many of those processes cut across multiple departments. So you have to have somebody who has the authority to say, sales, marketing, customer service, you guys have to work together on this. We have to make some changes here. And this is something that's going to benefit all of you, but you know, you're also all going to have to ante up some funds to pay for the system. That requires some leadership from senior management. And so at the end of the day, this is not something that can be done purely at a grassroots level. At some point, you have to have an organization that says, being customer focused is going to give us an advantage, and it's part of our strategic initiative going forward.
And so where does the sort of the help come from with the reorganizing your processes? I mean, there's vendors out there that call themselves business process management technology vendors. There's system integrators. So where can you turn to for help?
Well, certainly either of those sources is a good place to start. You know, the problem for a lot of business users in particular is they're not process oriented, so they don't know what their processes are. They don't know how to identify them, how to redesign them. And so bringing in a third party can certainly be useful. But that's only, you know, a piece of the puzzle. Clearly, it also involves having the stakeholders within the organization involved, and it means having your customers involved too. In many cases, a firm just needs to step up and say, we know this is not working as well as the customer would like. We know the customer wants it to be done this way. How are we going to make that happen? And I have seen organizations that can effectively sort of bootstrap that themselves. I recommend to a lot of firms to start designing what I call a day in the life of a customer scorecard. What does it look like to be a customer right now of your organization, warts and all? What would you like it to look like 5 years down the road? And then start connecting the dots between them and figure out what you're going to have to do to start removing those obstacles that when you first hear about it, somebody will say, oh, well, we can't do that because of X, Y, and Z. All right, well, now you know where some of your roadblocks are, so let's start getting rid of X, Y, and Z that's interfering with producing that vision for the customer.
And you call your customers in on that, and who do you call? I mean,
you might, depending on the line of business you're in, you might have a representation of customers in there. You may have, in many cases, it's simply having some of your customer contact employees helping you, because they, in many cases, know perfectly well what's wrong. They hear it every day from the customer, so they can serve as a surrogate. The key, though, is just not working in a vacuum. You don't want to assume that you know what's going on without talking to some of the key stakeholders, or worse yet, assume that what you need to do is simply copy somebody else in your market space, which may be doing something that's unique to their customer base and may not reflect what your customers are looking for.
To sort of switch back to the technology side again, I mean, a lot of consolidation in the CRM market, obviously, and we've also seen kind of these vendors taking on a platform approach with Salesforce and their AppExchange, with SAP really pushing NetWeaver. Where do you see, with them focusing so much on integration, where does the innovation come from?
Well, I think there's a couple things going on. Certainly, we're seeing what you describe with the large vendors. It's what we're describing now as a vendor ecosystem approach that's occurring. There's certainly four large vendors that are pushing that forward, and then you have smaller ones like Salesforce. And you could even argue somebody like Google is starting to do that now. It becomes an environment where vendors can start to line up behind it and employ their underlying technology and build upon the broader environment. And so some of that will be small vendors that take advantage of that ecosystem and kind of float into those respective camps. It's also going to be interesting because we expect to see a lot of backfilling in the market space of small innovative vendors with especially industry niche or vertical specificity, where they're trying to support a particular industry and they offer richer CRM functionality in that industry and they reflect the way that industry does business. And we think that's going to also produce a lot of innovation in the space and force the larger vendors to have to react, because they're not going to be able to go to market with just a large monolithic, you know, industry generic offering, but they're going to have to match the deeper and deeper functionality of some of those little players. So the biggest question for users, user organizations, is really going to be which ecosystem they want to line up behind. Are they going to be an SAP shop, an Oracle shop, an IBM shop, a Microsoft shop, you know, Salesforce shop? And that's going to be a strategic decision that firms are going to have to really think about, because once they make a commitment to one, and there's pros and cons to all of them, it's going to be very difficult to switch, because it would mean basically having to replace all the vendors that you bought that lined up behind that ecosystem.
And you also talked about a bit of a return to organizations building their own functionality. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we see the emergence, especially with service-oriented architectures, of firms building much more composite applications. You know, they realize it doesn't make much sense to reinvent the wheel and to create some of the core CRM functionality, but they do want to wrap more of their own intellectual property around that application. They want to embed it into some of their other homegrown applications. And so we expect to see as much more mixing and matching of custom application development with pieces of packaged applications with emphasis on integrating it all together and building a CRM solution that really becomes as unique as the business model of the firm, so that you might at the end of the day have two firms across the street from each other in the same industry lining up again around one of these basic ecosystem vendors, but having a very different look and feel to the application that they end up developing because it reflects the personality and the issues of that firm and the intellectual property that they view as important.
And so do you see a shortage of developing skills out there? Is that something that organizations are really going to need to bulk up on?
I think that's something. Certainly, application development is going to become an important area, and many may still do it through an outsourcing type arrangement, usually a third party. But I think certainly firms are going to have a strategy in place about how they're going to support that kind of an environment. And some will want to have it all in-house. We know some large firms already that they view that as a strategic advantage by having their own app dev group to do that kind of work. Others simply view it as a business function that they can outsource. So we'll see a lot of that continuing.
Okay. Great. And that kind of runs through my questions. Any sort of broad takeaways from this weekend that our listeners should take into account?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we're seeing, and we've felt this for a long time, but the conference is confirming for us, is that a lot of pundits out there were saying, well, CRM kind of has passed its prime. That was the end of the 90s, and it's moved on to other things. But we're seeing a large increase in attendance here at the conference. We're seeing the reemergence of a lot of what we would view as type A or more aggressive organizations coming back into the space. And whereas last couple of years it was more, you were seeing things like governmental entities and not-for-profits, educational groups starting to look at CRM initiatives, we're seeing the return of a lot of the large banks, manufacturing, retailers, telcos, looking for next generation type system. So I think we're going through another cycle where we're going to see significant investment in the space and significant case studies coming out of some real enhancements that firms were able to undertake that will be more than kind of the meat and potato CRM that we've seen in the past, but really starting to leverage the technology to do some pretty exciting things.
Do you think CRM sort of was ahead of its own time a little bit? Is that?
Well, I think like any strategy, there's a certain amount of boom and bust cycle to it, and I think that the combination of that happening along with the economic changes at a worldwide level just kind of pushed CRM to the back burner for a lot of organizations. So I think now it will cycle back around. It will gain some prominence in many strategic plans of organizations, and I think the next 5 years are going to be a very positive time for the CRM space.
And some of those cutting-edge technologies, I mean, you mentioned a few of them this morning.
Well, I think, we're going to see a lot of work being done in the Web 2.0 environment. That's going to really revolutionize, I think, the strategies of a lot of firms with what they can do with their web environment. Certainly, this wouldn't be a cutting-edge technology, but it's new for a lot of CRM practitioners. The ability to do knowledge-based servicing is going to become very important and to actually start to build on that. And the whole service space, I think you're going to see much more sophisticated. We're seeing a lot of firms now that are examining the ability to capture verbatim text and do text mining analysis to actually pick up what the customer is really saying, more the intent, not just the actual words. Certainly the analytic and data mining space continues to just be white hot and continues to push forward. We're seeing a lot more sophistication in that area as far as analyzing data. So I think those are areas we're going to continue to see big investments.
All right. Well, Scott, thanks very much.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right.
Well, that concludes our conversation with Scott Nelson from the Gartner CRM Summit. Please tune in next month when we talk with another leader in the CRM market space. And please continue to turn to searchcrm.com for all your CRM technology and strategy needs. Thanks very much.